I remember as a young man reading Bertrand Russell's essay, Why I Am Not a Christian. And it was, you know, right at that very moment, you know, between high school and college, when I was quite vulnerable. And so I was reading this essay, and he says at one point, after making some inane criticisms of the proofs of God, which I never bought anyway, but after that he says, well, you know, my main problem with Jesus is that he cursed that fig tree, and the fig tree hadn't done anything to him, and then he cast those evil spirits into the swine, and what did they do to him? No, he says, I can't like that Jesus. So I'm sitting there as an 18-year-old going, is this the best you can do? I mean, I didn't have any scriptural background. I just knew if this is your reason for rejecting Jesus, this ain't very good. And what happened, the equal and opposite response, you know what I mean? It was such a bad argument that I began to think, if the atheists are this dumb, maybe I should investigate the evidence in favor of Jesus. And of course, it put me on my way to part of the way to my priesthood, frankly, intellectually it did. But that's an aside. Why does Jesus cast, curse the fig tree? And why does he, cast out the money changers from the temple? I mean, after all, it's not Jesus' custom to be cursing fig trees. I mean, he only does it once. And it's so extraordinarily different from anything he does, you almost have to wonder. And then why does he cast out the money changers? Because after all, it's so extraordinarily different from anything he does. And besides, the money changers were in the temple all the time. And Jesus had been back and forth to Jerusalem on several occasions. He'd been in the temporal area on several occasions. Why is it on this one occasion he got really upset at them? Were they doing anything more aggressively or differently on this day than any other day that he'd visited the temple? No. So there's gotta be a reason. And there is a reason. Jesus, remember, is of course the Messiah, but he uses the same prophetic gestures that the prophets use who are in line with the prophet Elijah. So he's in this prophetic tradition, using these prophetic gestures, which are well recognized, not just by the people, but most especially by the scribes and Pharisees. And so, of course, he walks into the temple area. And this is going to be exceedingly important because he, as Messiah, is using this prophetic gesture to initiate the coming of the new temple in his own being. So this is a judgment against the old temple. And the cursing of the fig tree is a judgment against the old temple administration. The Essenes already had very much condemned the old temple administration, right? I mean, they were already on top of the problems with all the horse trading going or bird trading and selling and everything that's going on over there, right? So, I mean, there's no question about it. The Essenes were on top of it. And Jesus certainly agrees that the old temple administration has been corrupt, and that the old temple administration has not been looking after the needs of the people, and that the old temple administration is going to be the one that ultimately persecutes him, the Messiah, the Son of God. He knows. So the point then is he goes in there as the Messiah, the Son of God, with this intention to create this prophetic gesture. And it has three parts to it. The first part, of course, is the upsetting of the tables. And of course, casting out the people who are the merchants. That's the condemnation of the old administration that cared more about money than about the souls of the people it was governing. So that's the first thing. And then, of course, the second thing as he turns over the money changers' tables and so forth, right? He is recollecting, right, that there's going to be a psalm that's given, you know, right after, you know, this prophetic gesture. The stone which was rejected by the builders will become the cornerstone of the church. So why that statement after this temple cleansing? Because, of course, it's the second part of the prophetic gesture. Remember, the word of the prophet goes out into the future. And when it's gone out into the future, that word carries with it the Holy Spirit. But this is not any prophet, any ordinary prophet. This is the Messiah, the Son of God's prophetic word, who has within himself the Holy Spirit that goes out into the future. And so, of course, Jesus is not only then initiating the destruction of the temple, which will be the destruction of the old temple administration, right, which is going to happen in 70 AD. It's going to happen. And he's going to reconstitute the temple in himself. The stone which is rejected by the old temple administration will become the cornerstone of the church, the new universal church, the church that's not going to be located in Jerusalem, but the church that will be grounded in the very body, the very risen body of Christ. It is an anticipation of his resurrection, an anticipation of his becoming the grounding of the mystical body. He is declaring himself to be the universal temple. So we see the three parts. The number one, the condemnation of the old temple administration. Number two, the destruction of the temple predicted by the tables turning over. And number three, by the use of the psalm, right, the stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. And you know, this is, you know, a joy to behold in our eyes. So the idea, of course, that Jesus will become the one that's rejected, that will become the new temple, the new Jerusalem, grounded him in himself, the new universal temple. And this will occur, of course, through his passion into his resurrection, where he becomes in his risen body, right, the body of the mystical body of the whole church. And of course, through the Holy Spirit that will be given to him, then the prophetic word will come to completion in the future. And when it is done, of course, Jesus's prophetic action in its completion then corresponds to the plan of God and his Son, period. That's the reason for all this strange, very peculiar kinds of actions in Jesus's life. Amen.